Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the 6th chapter entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana. And we're on text 37 to 38. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee, and He is always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Because Krishna embraced Putana's body with great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and thus achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure and who offered their milk very jubilantly with affection, exactly like that of a mother? Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. These verses explain how devotional service rendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether directly or indirectly, knowingly or unknowingly, becomes successful. Putana was neither a devotee nor a non-devotee. She was actually a demoniac witch instructed by Kamsa to kill Krishna. Nonetheless, in the beginning, she assumed the form of a very beautiful woman and approached Krishna exactly like an affectionate mother. So that mother Yasoda and Rohini did not doubt her sincerity. The Lord took all this into consideration, and thus she was automatically promoted to a position like that of Mother Yasoda. As explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, there are various roles one may play in such a position. Putana was immediately promoted to Vaikuntha Loka, which is also sometimes described as Swarga. The Swarga mentioned in this verse is not the material heavenly planet, but the transcendental world. In Vaikuntha Loka, Putana attained the position of a nurse, Dhiratri Ujjitam, as described by Uddhava. Putana was elevated to the position of a nurse and maidservant in Goloka Vrindavan to assist Mother Yasoda. Omagina Turamanda Shah Ganangana Salakaya Shakshashumilatam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Jaitanya Manombustam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swaya Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadanti Kam Vundeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunavtam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichajan Sahitam Krishna Jaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lilita Sri Vishaka Vachamscha He Krishna Charana Sindhu Dino Bando Jagapati Gopishwa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapcha Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavnibhyo Vaishnavi Bhyanamo Namaha Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So we're this 10th canto is very an elevated part of the scriptures of the Srimad Bhagavatam. As we understand, when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam, we should start from the first canto, second, third, systematically. As the first and second canto were described as like the lotus feet of Krishna. So, like when we look at the deity, it's good to first look at Krishna's feet and then gradually raise up his body to his lotus face. And this tenth canto is actually the like the lotus face of the Lord. These are the personal pastimes of the Supreme. This killing of the demon Putana is very interesting. It's, if we look at Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he likes to have fun. He's always ready, having lots of fun, and he makes situations through his divine will. Krishna is not boring. He's not like sometimes we portray a picture of God sat in a chair with a beard and, you know, just sat there and answering all the problems and in anxiety. No, Krishna's Navayovanam, he's ever youthful, as we understand. And through his divine will, he's also arranged for, to come and have a pastime with certain demons. And he's arranged for them through Kamsa. Kamsa is also king of the demons, and Kamsa is like the guru of all the other demons, and so he's given instructions to the other demons, and he's arranged for them to be like contract killers, contract assassins, to go out to get Krishna. And it's quite interesting because when they come to see Krishna, to find him, he's just this little blue boy. And it's quite interesting. I was looking at watching the Krishna cartoons with my son, and so just as the demons go to approach Krishna, he sort of shows this form of like a warrior. He has his Dwarkadish helmet and armor, and as they look at him, then he changes again back to his Vrindavan form, and they've just had a flash of that death personified is waiting for them. They think they're going to go there, and Krishna's going to be easy to kill. But little do they know. This is the introduction part, and to the translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee, and he is always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Brahma and Lord Shiva. So we understand Srila Prabhupada is giving us the process of Vaidhi Bhakti and the nine limbs of Bhakti, systematically and through guidance, that we don't worship the demigods. We respect the demigods, but we worship Krishna directly. And this is where it says, like, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they're worshipping Krishna, because everything comes from the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada gives the example, when we chant Hare Krishna, it's like we're watering the root of the tree. So you nourish the root. You don't just water the branches, because then there won't be any nourishment for the tree. So everything comes from the root, and the root is actually directly chanting the holy name of the Lord and association of devotees. So it also explains in the Bhagavad Gita that one doesn't need to approach the demigods for boons. It's better to approach Krishna directly. Prabhupada explains that, this is 7:23. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planet of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. And everything comes from Krishna. I mean, he's sanctioning the demigods. He's giving them strength. He's giving them intelligence. He gives Lord Brahma the intelligence to create, and he gives Lord Shiva the potency to destroy. So this is direct process through chanting and so the pure devotee, it talks about the pure devotee as well, because a pure devotee of Krishna is always connected to Krishna, and he's always thinking of Krishna. So we should approach the pure devotee, actually, in our spiritual life. We need guidance. This is the one of the first steps, is Guru Padashraya, is to take shelter of the spiritual master. Tadvidi pranay patena parapachina sivaya upadekshanti te gana janainas tatvadarshana. If one wants to seek the truth, one should approach a self-realized soul and render service unto them. Inquire from them, then render service, because a self-realized soul will impart knowledge unto them, because they have seen the truth. So this water in the tree, water in the root, you have the water, which is like the cooling, the chanting, and then you've got the root, which is Krishna, the tree, and then in between there is the soil. The soil is like the spiritual master. So we get our guidance, and direction. We have the guru, the sadhu, the association of devotees, and the scriptures, guru, sadhu, shastra. So we should always follow these, the basic guidance to keep us safe from harm on the path of devotional service, because most of us are conditioned souls. And we've fallen away from Krishna, and we're very small. It explains that the spirit soul is 1/10,000th the top of a hair, and we don't have much strength, and so we need help and guidance. There's a nice chapter verse in Bhagavad Gita explains our insignificant position. It's 15:7. Mamamsa jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana maya sasistriyani prakritistani kashati, that the living entity in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. So, you know, we need to engage our mind in chanting and hearing and service to Krishna. The living entity has the four basic defects. We're illusioned. We got cheating propensities. We make mistakes, and we have imperfect senses. So, from being illusioned, it's easy to fall into Maya, or sometimes come off the path of devotion. So sometimes Maya is very well disguised. And in this pastime, Putin has taken a disguise. She's disguised as a harmless mother, very beautiful, very soft. And she ventures across the pasture lands into the home of Nanda Maharaj. And she's in this disguise, a deadly disguise, actually. She's something, looking like something that she's not. Prabhupada gives the example. She's like a sword, but covered by a sharp sword covered by a colorful sheath, you know. So then, when she comes in, Mother Yasoda and Rohini, they think it's okay. This is Yoga Maya working now, no doubt. So. Then they let her come in to Krishna, where Krishna's sleeping, and she's actually going to try and poison the Lord, and she's in the disguise of coming to give milk, but actually it's poison. I mean, this is quite well known in this age. You get it's quite a bad way of killing someone. It's not so noble, of course, and. In this age, we there's also things they tried to do like this. I was just thinking back in like in the 1960s, the American CIA, they, if they wanted to do an assassination, they sometimes used to they put on that the glove, like a see-through glove, and use the frog poison, like from the Amazon, from one of those frogs. And it's like a contact poison. They put it on the glove, and they'd meet like an official or something, a big person. They'd shake his hand. Then after some time, he would, die, because it was quite a non-noble cause. And I'm just sort of connecting some of the things, the way the dangers in which Putin was approaching. I was looking in the Bhagavatam, I can't remember which canto it was, but some of the kings would like a young born baby, a baby girls, they would get them within the kingdom, they would get the maids and stuff to gradually administer poison to them as they grew older, each time a little drop, and they'd become more powerful with. They become like assassins, and then the king would send them to any oppositions, and they would seduce them or whatever. And then, and just from one kiss, they could kill the man. So it's quite interesting. So Putin is getting some great mercy. Actually, there's a very merciful message here that she's under instruction of her spiritual master, Kamsa, and she's following her guru's instruction. But her nature is to kill babies, and that's what she's, unfortunately, that's what she's good at. So when she comes to see Krishna, it's not personal. It's like, it's another job. And she puts on her best skies of motherly affection. So Krishna's so merciful, he reciprocates on that he sees the good. He's showing us that he's a loving God, of course, and he gave her the great benefit of that, those moments of affection that she was trying to falsely show, that she benefited from, and that's why she got going to the spiritual world. And this is like Srila Prabhupada's mood as well, which is which was, as today as we understand, very special day. This is the day Srila Prabhupada has taken sannyas in 1959. It was on Viswarup Mahotsava, same day as we understand is Lord Chaitanya's older brother Viswarup took sannyas, left home at the age of 16, and went to take sannyas. And Prabhupada took sannyas this time, and Prabhupada's so merciful. He also sees the good in everyone. You know, when he came to the West, he was always just like Krishna. You know, following Krishna's mood and instruction, he could have seen so many bad things, but he took all the essence of his disciples, and he taught them how to eat, how to cook, how to clean, and he didn't correct them too much at the beginning. He gave so much leeway. He's so tolerant, because they explain actually that's the lakshan, the qualities of a sadhu is that he has his strength is judged by his ability to tolerate, you know, unfavorable situations. And Prabhupada did all this, so and he's come to this world to rescue us. And he's seeing Krishna in everything. There's that nice verse in Bhagavad Gita 6:30. It says, you know, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So from that example, we can try and remember Krishna and not forget him, and also try and see the good in everything, because our nature is, I'm talking for myself as well, become a little bit fault-finding, and sometimes we just see the bad in others because we can't deal with our own stuff. And so we should, what to say, be reflective as well on our own progress and what we maybe have to work on inside. Because this is also interesting, because when Krishna killed Putana, her form, her true form manifest. And he was giving his mercy to her, even by taking her life and sending her to the spiritual world. But she left behind that awful form. and which is, you know, quite. This is like sometimes we have to deal with. We also, I'm talking for myself, we also have things, after chanting for some time, things come up. And we may not like what we see, or someone close to us can even tell us that what we got to work with, or they don't like this within us. It's not being a good Vaishnav. We have demoniac tendencies. I mean, so most of us, as explains in the... you know, Satyayuga, there was demons in other planets, and like Hiranyakashipu, he was on another planet, and then in Treta Yuga, Lord Ram had to fight with Ravana, and Ravana was on the earth, but they were in different continents, and then in Dwarpa Yuga, In Treta Yuga, they were on the same planet, and then in Dwarpa Yuga, they'd be in the same families, that like the Kuruvas and the Pandavas, and then eventually in Kali Yuga, the demon is also within everybody, and that's why you got the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, divine and demoniac natures, and three of those, about first three verses in there is talking about the divine natures, and then the rest of it is all the demoniac natures. So we can see that, you know, Putana was being purified. And Krishna was taking the mercy, taking the good points of her, all the good things. And I was just, there was this point when there's that story about the mouse, isn't there? He went onto the altar. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but he went there to steal some boga, and he caught himself a light, I think, and his tail was on fire, but then he relit the candle to be offered to Krishna, and he actually got Krishna saw the good in that, he got liberation, but he went there to do something bad, and how's the story go? Is it sort of like that? I think it is, isn't it? Yeah. And he got great benefit anyway, because he went to do something bad, and actually something good came out, and Krishna took the essence. There's also sometimes, like I was listening to a story of Vaisheshika Prabhu. He was saying that there was some people became devotees through some difficult ways as well. There was one man used to throw stones at the temple window and run away when he was a hooligan before he became a devotee, and they used to chase him, and one day the temple president chased him, and he caught him, and he gave him a bit of a beating, and not long after that he actually joined the temple, and it's not the best way to come along, but it happens like this. Who can conceive this? And same with Guru Kripa Prabhu. I heard the story of Guru Kripa was interesting. He was a quite maybe even a slightly rough gang member before he joined, and he saw in the papers that the Hare Krishnas are coming into town, and he saw the pictures of them. He just didn't like the pictures. He thought, these guys look soft, I'm gonna... So he went down to beat them up, I think, and Jayananda, the great devotee who would arrange the Rathi Yatras, he was a bit older than most of the other devotees, and he was quite a bit more savvy, I suppose, so he saw him ready to start some trouble, so he went over and spoke to him nicely. He said, "Hey, excuse me, you know, you look like a strong guy. I need some help lifting this fridge and doing this." And he sort of melted his heart, you know, and got him engaged him in all the service. And then afterwards, he gave him a nice plate of prasadam, you know. And then Guru Kripa revealed his mind that I was coming down here originally to cause some trouble. He said, "But actually, you guys are not so bad." And so yeah, it's you never know with who's out there, who wants to come, who Krishna's going to let through the door, and so we devotees should cultivate their compassion and this mood of mercy, and that comes from association of devotees and service. So can take great fortune, actually take great guidance from reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing, because actually hearing the pastimes of the Lord purifies the heart. And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, actually. In most places in this world, they don't really help us purify what's inside. So this is our real chance to actually, in daily devotional service, we don't give up. We should always, Kirtanya Sadahari, always chant the holy name, no matter what the weather, what the situation, we should always try and go towards Krishna more and more each day. Because explains in the Bhagavad Gita 2:40 that, you know, a little advancement on this path, in this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So we should try to, yeah, we can, if we get a chance to distribute literature or go out on Harinam and distribute prasadam, these are the free runged attack of Lord Chaitanya. And help out with the cows or do some temple service, anything we can do in the service to Krishna. In actually, talking about the cows, it's explaining here about the relationship between Krishna and the cows and saying what great fortune they'll get when they leave this world. Because the cows, are, of course, are very faithful devotees. Jai Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sisi Taram, Lachan, Hanuman, Shigurani, Tai, Kijai. Yeah, they're the most very faithful devotees. I mean, and I suppose in some ways they don't, not that they don't have a choice, but they're down there in their pens. They don't run away, or well, they sometimes do when they get a chance, but they always come back, and they don't do anything too bad. They're just there waiting to give milk, eating the grass, and reciprocating. And this is their loyalty. And the cows are, it takes some time sometimes to even befriend them, because they don't reciprocate instantly. You have to spend some time with them and serving them in some way. Then they decide when the time is to let you in. And not like, not that we condemn other animals, but like with a dog, he might instantly reciprocate, and sometimes the master's even cruel to the dog and he still reciprocates. But with a cow, that they've got a good measure of reciprocation, and they can also tell you sometimes when you're wrong. They keep you in check, but you know, it's nice association being there with them. They're always in the mode of goodness, and This simple living and high thinking is a great way of is a great future, because things in the world are looking a little bit bad at the moment. We as it always has been, gradually building up, I suppose, for hundreds of years. But now we're running out of resources, and there's so much pollution, and certain food shortages and famines starting to happen. This is all revealed in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto. So this agrarian living, this cow protection and varnashram society, that doesn't mean you just have to be a part of a living on a farm, but you can implement this for your situation where you're, what you're in the world. But whilst we're taking care of the cows, we should also, yeah, growing the plants, tilling the fields, growing crops, our own produce, expanding on the land, because we're going to need this sooner or later. As we can see, things are changing a lot in the world, and things are running out, all the necessities. So we should put time into doing this. So I think I'm going to stop there. Has anyone got any questions?